Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Whenever it is you may be listening, thank you for stopping into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy radio show live here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, as well as live on the Comical Sports YouTube channel. Shout out to everyone stopping in here on the YouTube. And happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope y'all are doing excellent here today. We've got what I hope to be a fun show planned for you today. Not quite sure where we're going to go. Obviously, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals and maybe the Atlanta Hawks a little bit because, as I mentioned last Thursday, when we were talking about Dan Snyder and talking about the NCAA and all of that stuff. By the way, if you want to follow up on that NCAA story that we did last week, I'd recommend checking out Wednesday's episode of the Take It Easy podcast as well. We talked about one of these name, image, and likeness stories that got brought up under the University of Miami umbrella. So y'all can check that out as well. But while we were talking about that, one of the things we mentioned was that by the time we came on the air here on Wednesday, we would know what would happen in the Eastern Conference Finals. And now, obviously, we have the result, and we have one game of the NBA Finals in our back pocket. So we will talk about probably Giannis at some point, probably Chris Paul, as he becomes the first player to have 30-8 in an NBA Finals game since Michael Jordan, which is just a fun stat to throw out there, because Chris Paul is an excellent basketball player, and it's just a fun little factoid to pay attention to. So good on Chris Paul. So we'll get to all of that and more throughout today's episode. Also, we might check in with Major League Baseball. Sooner or later, we're going to get a trade deadline special. Maybe we won't be on the air when it happens. I think the trade deadline falls on a weird day this year. So it falls on a Saturday. So maybe we won't be here on the trade deadline day, but it'll still be a fun trade deadline day in Major League Baseball leading up to that. As the Chicago Cubs lose 10 in a row. Chicago Cubs, think about that. I talked about being off the air for 6 days. The Chicago Cubs, who we watched get absolutely slaughtered by the Milwaukee Brewers last week, have not won a baseball game since that day, which is quite remarkable. So we'll check in with all of that coming up throughout the show. Let's start on that NBA Finals talk. I mentioned Giannis off the top here, and the big surprise for everyone was that Giannis Antetokounmpo ended up playing game one for the Milwaukee Bucks. And obviously I'm a big Giannis fan, and our buddy Cam over at Daily Sports Dosage is also a big Giannis fan. So it would be fitting that I discuss Giannis here first and foremost on the Take It Easy podcast, or I'm sorry, Take It Easy radio show. And what fascinated me the most about Giannis Antetokounmpo and what fascinated me about him coming back to play was the fact that people look now and say that the Milwaukee Bucks are at full strength. But even I recognize that the Phoenix Suns, even with Giannis playing in the series, absolutely should be, if not the favorites, 50-50 with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I would have said Bucks in six coming out of the series, mostly because a game seven is like anything can happen, and I think this series honestly could still go seven games, theoretically. We haven't had a close NBA Finals in a while, now that I think about it. No, I mean, Raptors and Warriors was interesting in 2019, where we had six games and some cataclysmic injuries, so it was interesting for a different reason, but, you know, we haven't really had, like, super enthralling Game 7 since 2016, which is now 5 years ago. I mean, last year technically went six games, but it was over before it started, and 2018 was a sweep by the Warriors, and 2017 was a win in five by the Warriors, so we haven't had an enthralling NBA Finals in a few years, but I think this one might be one of those series. I think this is going to be potential. This has potential for a long series, and based on the sustainable win that the Phoenix Suns put forth yesterday, it also has the potential to be over in like four games or five games. Not to say Suns in four, but the Suns could run through this series, especially given what we were going to talk about with Giannis, the fact that he is not healthy at this point. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, we now found out that Giannis Antetokounmpo at 80% is DeAndre Ayton, because him and DeAndre Ayton basically canceled each other out last night, and then it came down to a scoring battle between Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton versus Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And Devin Booker hit 12 free throws, and Chris Paul had 30 points. Most of them were on, like, mid-range jumpers, but he had one, like, four-point play coming out of the half where it kind of felt like this is when the Suns started pulling away. But for Giannis Antetokounmpo, this is a fascinating point because this is the best chance Milwaukee is going to get. And we talked about this on podcasts a couple of weeks ago last week when Giannis got hurt, is like the opportunity is here for the Milwaukee Bucks. Actually, no, we were talking about this in the Brooklyn series, I think. The opportunity was here for the Milwaukee Bucks. The opportunity was right in front of them. And it would come down to a matter of capitalizing on said opportunity. And so one of the things that I found fascinating for the Milwaukee Bucks is the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo played through the game, and yet they got ran out of the building by the Phoenix Suns. And to be honest, they can drop this game and be totally okay. If they win game two, then all is well for the Milwaukee Bucks. If they can swipe game two in Phoenix, you know, they're all good. We'll go back to Kumbaya and be okay. But one of the things that I found really fascinating for the for the Milwaukee Bucks standpoint was, if you're going to get run out of the building in the first game and Giannis isn't going to get healthy, and it's not like, I mean, Chris Paul, I mentioned the Michael Jordan stat, but it's not like Chris Paul can't replicate the production that he had before. The where do you come back from this becomes a little more difficult. Where do you find the victory within the margins? Where do you find an advantage against Giannis Antetokounmpo, or where do you find an advantage as Giannis Antetokounmpo, other than he just needs to go nuclear and beat the Phoenix Suns? And this is something we talked about with House of Phoenix Suns yesterday. It's like Giannis at his best can go nuclear for one game and win you a series, but the problem is Giannis isn't at his best. And very clearly, Giannis plays at such a high-intensity style of basketball that by the middle of the third quarter, you could tell he was just out of gas. Like, Giannis had nothing left in the tank, rehabbing his knee. He hadn't been running for a week. Like, Giannis just ran out of gas towards about halfway through the third quarter. And he only played, like, 27 minutes, but he plays at such a high-intensity type of basketball where, you know, he's using his butt to basically move DeAndre Ayton back an entire 2 feet inside the paint. And so this high-intensity basketball Giannis plays wears him out quite a bit. And they mentioned that on the broadcast, that Mike Budenholzer literally has a coach that tells Coach Bud, hey, Giannis is gassed, get him out of the game. And Giannis played 35 minutes yesterday, a lot of it coming in the first two quarter, or I'm sorry, in the second quarter, played a bunch of minutes in there, but he got a fair in and out during this game. Like he got a fair amount of rest during the game. And this is something that's concerning for the Bucks, because the benefit that Phoenix has at its simplest level, and obviously like maybe the Dario Saric's who are now gone becomes an impact injury in the series, but at its simplest point, if Giannis at 80% and Ayton cancel each other out, the Suns should feel confident that in a CP3 Devin Booker versus Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton shootout, at the bare minimum, they can win 3 out of 6. And that's all they have to do at this point. You just have to win 50% of your games. With 2 All-Stars who shoot from the perimeter and mid-range versus 2 All-Stars who shoot from the perimeter and mid-range, you just got a 50-50. You just got to win 3 out of 6 games at this point. And they should feel confident that they can end up doing that and potentially do it in, 6 games or 5 games or whatever it might be, if Devin Booker and Chris Paul score 59 points in 2 games. But on the contrary, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday will score 56 at some point. Drew Holiday is going to progress to the mean at some point. Shot 0 for 4 from 3 yesterday and had 10 points. We know Drew Holiday averages like 20 a game, so to average out the 10 and the 20, to average the 20, he's got a 10 and a 30. So there's a 30-point game coming for Drew Holiday. Heck, there was a 30-point game in game 6 to average it out. And math isn't exactly that because, again, regressions to the mean occur over large sample sizes, and 4 games are not a large sample size. Like, Drew Holiday could have a terrible series, and it changes all of the math that we're seeing around this. And so for Drew Holiday, it's a difficult situation, and for the Milwaukee Bucks, it's a difficult situation because the way that they are going to win this series, and it's the reason that the Suns were favored in the series, according to Vegas and FanDuel odds, the Suns were favored in the series knowing Giannis was going to come back, knowing Giannis had a chance of coming back later in the series, not realizing that he would be back for game one, that the Suns were favored in the series because those guys can outshoot them just enough to win. The Suns have a ridiculously talented team, as do the Milwaukee Bucks. But the reason that Milwaukee would be favored is because their advantage over the Suns is Giannis going nuclear. Giannis being one of the three best players in the league, I'd argue 2 best players, him and Kevin Durant. You can debate the merits of each one. But Giannis just going nuclear and giving you a 40.15 rebound, 8 assist game, like he did in game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets to help them get to this point. That's what you're banking on for the Milwaukee Bucks. Because otherwise, a team led by, let's say, Middleton, Drew Holiday, and DeAndre Ayton, if we're going to call it 80% of Giannis DeAndre Ayton, because those two canceled each other out yesterday, like 80% of that, that's like, what, a 4 seed, 5 seed? Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and DeAndre Ayton, maybe a 6, 7 seed in the Eastern Conference, right there with the Miami Heat. And the Suns can beat that team. The Suns can definitely beat that team. And so, they proved it yesterday. They won by 20 points on a game where, Devin Booker didn't shoot great, but Devin Booker got to the free throw line in the spirit of Trae Young, who is now gone. From our lives for another year. In the spirit of Trae Young, Devin Booker went 12 for 12 at the free throw line and helping him get to 27 points. I think he shot like 7 for 19 in the game from the field. So volume shooter, shot just below his average, but still volume shooter shooting 7 for 19 from the field is not what you would expect from Devin Booker. You also expect the ones where he just plays like god-awful at some point. But, it's average volume shooter doesn't quite get it done when every team has average volume shooters. So, anyways, the point of this with the Milwaukee Bucks is their strength comes from a nuclear Giannis game, and we're seeing very clearly that at the bare minimum, Giannis isn't quite there yet. And Giannis has surprised us many times before. Giannis has gone nuclear many times before. At times that we didn't expect it to happen. The Brooklyn series is a great example of that. Giannis's domination of Brooklyn, even though Kevin Durant, was the spotlight of the series and Kevin Durant played amazing basketball in games 5 and game 7, we overlooked the fact that Giannis had a 40-point game in game 7 and 15 rebounds and 8 assists. It was a great game that Giannis Antetokounmpo had. And we overlook, you know, the game five that he had where, you know, obviously Brooklyn ends up having the amazing victory that we all remember. But in that game, I want to make sure I get the stat right too, just to make sure I'm not hyping up Giannis too high. But still, in that game, Giannis Antetokounmpo had 34 points and 12 rebounds across 42 minutes. In a game where they just got beat by Kevin Durant going nuclear, with Kevin Durant having 49-point triple-double, basically 50-point triple-double, 17 rebounds. And it's why those two were the two best players in the sport, and it's why that Milwaukee Bucks-Brooklyn Nets series was the great series of the postseason. You can take out Kyrie Irving, you can take out James Harden, unfortunately, with injuries, but it was the great series of the postseason. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It was the great series of that postseason. And so Giannis Antetokounmpo comes back into this game at 80%, looks like DeAndre Ayton, and the Suns played the style of ball that helped them get that 9-game win streak. Success for the Milwaukee Bucks will come with Giannis going for those 40-point triple-doubles, having 34 and 12. It's why for all of those series against Miami and Brooklyn and Atlanta and the, what would it be? So 4-7 across the 18 playoff games so far that we've seen from the Milwaukee Bucks, 18 games. That's like a fourth of an NBA season. Across those 18 games, the Milwaukee Bucks find themselves, we constantly find ourselves talking about Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. And again, we find ourselves talking about Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday because every single night, Giannis is going to give you 30 or 25. Or 35. He averaged, I think, 32 he was averaging 29.8 for the playoffs coming into that game tonight. When Giannis gives you that consistent level of success, everyone else kind of goes to town. And it depends on the abilities of Chris Middleton in the fourth quarter, like he did in game two against the Hawks when they were down 0-1 at home, needing to win game two. And Chris Middleton gets 25 points in the fourth quarter, outscores the entire Hawks. Or I think it was 20 points, but he had like 11 straight to start the quarter. We start debating those merits once you have the certainty that Giannis is going to run that team and run that offense. And it's the reason that Milwaukee is in the finals. Like, we all recognize the reason Milwaukee is in the finals is because Giannis gives you 30 every single night. And he's one of the four best players in the sport. And he re-upped with the Bucks, even though the Bucks window may be closing. Not because Giannis can't keep giving you 30 a night, but because of the inconsistencies of their all-stars. And that's what part of being all-stars are, is that what makes Giannis Antetokounmpo, what makes Kevin Durant, what makes Kawhi Leonard and for a while LeBron James special is when they score a 7-0 run, when the other team gives you a 7-0 run and you say, go get me a basket, just give them the ball, go get me a basket. They have a skill set that is literally unguardable. There's nothing you can do about it. They will go get you a basket when you say, go get me a basket. Giannis can do it because he's bigger, stronger, faster than everyone else. Kevin Durant can do it because he just elevates over everybody with one of the best mid-range and three-point shots in NBA history while nobody is tall enough to contest him. Kawhi Leonard does the same idea, where Kawhi Leonard in ISO is one of the best players in the sport. LeBron James, bigger, stronger than everyone else, drives to the rack. He doesn't do it as much anymore, which is why LeBron James is not quite in that camp. But the beauty of Anthony Davis is that Anthony Davis is literally taller and can grab lobs in higher places than everyone else and has one of the best mid-range games in the NBA. And this transitions us into the second point I wanted to talk about. We'll bring it back to Giannis in a second, is that Chris Paul from the mid-range has kind of become that guy where they say, go get me a bucket, and Chris Paul goes and gets a bucket. It's been a fascinating development of Chris Paul's career, where in the last three wins for the Suns, he had that bad game in game four, but they still won. But game six, Chris Paul had 41 points, and yesterday he had 32 points for the Phoenix Suns. Like, it's been an interesting development to see Chris Paul. I remember in the fourth quarter last night, the Bucks cut it down to 7 points at one time. They cut it to 7, and Giannis was in the game, but he had gotten one bucket, and P.J. Tucker had hit a shot, He hit, I think, a free throw right before then. But anyways, it was a 7-point game, and Devin Booker hit a shot, and Chris Paul hit a shot back-to-back, and all of a sudden it was an 11-point game. And then Chris Paul drove right past Brook Lopez, stopped, like, easiest play in the game. Just Brook Lopez is behind him, stops, Lopez runs into his butt, and Chris Paul just, like, carries the momentum and just hits a scoop layup from, like, 2 feet and gets an and one. Just stops right at the basket, Lopez fouls him, and he gets an and one. And Chris Paul has kind of become that guy who's like, I will get you a bucket if I need a bucket. And it's kind of been the way that the Suns' offense goes from 120 one night to 80 another night. Chris Paul's 6 feet tall without a discernible skill that you can say he does better than anyone else in the league. A lot of what we talk about with Chris Paul is like, well, he's got leadership. Well, Chris Paul has veteran savvy. Those are the things we talk about a lot with Chris Paul. There's not one thing you can pin down on and say Chris Paul does this better than everyone else. The one thing that is close, mid-range jumper. Chris Paul, mid-range jumper from like 17 feet and closer. That's the one thing you can point to and say that makes Chris Paul elite versus everyone else, is that mid-range jumper. And when they need a bucket, Chris Paul can get you a bucket. But he's not going to be able to do that all the time. At least historical precedent says Chris Paul is not going to be able to do that all the time. He's done some of it in the playoffs, but the series against the Lakers and Nuggets, the thing that was the strength for the Suns was everyone scored 15, being their big four of Paul, Booker, Ayton, and Mikal Bridges, or everyone scored 20 in a game. I think that was game one against the Nuggets, if I remember correctly. And they guarded Michael Porter Jr., and they guarded Aaron Gordon, despite being undersized. And they played excellent defense, as they did last night. Jay Crowder scored 1 point. It was on one free throw at the end of the game. It was the only missed free throw of the night, too. Jay Crowder missed the only free throw of the game. And Jay Crowder was a plus 17. So excellent defense, part of the game for the Phoenix Suns. But offensively, the Phoenix Suns' offense goes by Chris Paul becoming that guy who, when you need a bucket, he will get you a bucket. And it's been an interesting development because large sample size suggests that's not Chris Paul's game. Chris Paul averaged 18 points a game through the season. In the playoffs, it's just over 20. In their last two wins, game six against the Clippers and game one against the Milwaukee Bucks, Chris Paul scored 41 and 32, which adds up to an average of 36.5. At some point, he's going to regress to the mean because we don't look at Chris Paul as one of those four players who we say, go get you a bucket whenever you need a bucket. But for the last couple games for the Suns, that's who he has been. It's been a remarkable change of pace for the Suns and for Chris Paul. And if Chris Paul can be that player consistently, give him the Finals MVP, and say that the Phoenix Suns took their game to a whole nother level in the postseason. It was kind of shocking to see the success from Chris Paul, especially because he had like 0 points to start the game and then came out in the second half and had a 4-point play and hit a nice 3-pointer and had the little like bucket to stop the run and then drew the foul on Brook Lopez and scored a bucket. It was remarkable to see that success, just because we haven't seen it consistently from Chris Paul across, you know, even when he was the number two on the Houston Rockets, we don't think of Chris Paul as someone who's like, go get me a bucket and he'll go get you a bucket. Sure, he's had a lot of success this year, and that's not necessarily the name of his game. In mid-range jumpers, maybe you could argue Chris Paul can go get you a bucket in the mid-range whenever he's looking to get a bucket. But also, Chris Paul is not the one who scores 20 every night. It's not like you wake up and you're like, okay, we can guarantee 20-25 from Chris Paul. We can guarantee that we are going to get 20-25 out of Chris Paul tonight. He's never quite been that player. No disrespect to Chris Paul. It just makes him not Giannis. That's the strength of the Bucks that makes them the favorites in the series if they have a healthy Giannis Antetokounmpo. And right now they do not have a healthy Giannis Adetokounmpo. And that gives the Suns the advantage, especially if Chris Paul is going to keep shooting the way he's been shooting, then the Suns might actually have a chance to win the series in four. They just might have a chance to pull off Suns in four. All right. Just needed a quick little break right there. I should have played a different sound effect instead of the long intro sound. But you know what? Works out all right. What to talk about next? We've gone through the obligatory finals talk. Actually, let's find some odds for tomorrow's game. Let's see if we've got anything popping up on here on our NBA finals odds. It is early. Oh, that's right. We got soccer going on. England and Denmark, the quarterfinals right now, or I'm sorry, the semifinals at Euro. I know this is a big deal for England because England hasn't won a major tournament since I want to say this early 60s, maybe late 50s, one of the two. England hasn't won a major tournament since then, but they're rolling in that right now. They're believing. England is believing right now. By the way, odds for tomorrow's game are early right now on FanDuel. Suns are 5.5-point favorites, and they are collecting 61% of the bets. So Vegas has a slight lean towards Milwaukee. And on the money line, Phoenix is -220, and 74% of the bets are on Phoenix, 26% are on Milwaukee. So Vegas has a larger lean towards the Milwaukee Bucks. Vegas is leaning ever so slightly towards the Milwaukee Bucks. So maybe the Bucks have something in the tank. And again, I mentioned it earlier, like the Bucks are going to be okay as long as the Milwaukee Bucks can get game two, they're still okay. They can just brush off game one and come back and maybe feel better about the shooting woes of Drew Holiday coming back to the next game. So you're going to be all right if you just trust the process and win game two. You can get it. By the way, I loved making the joke that Dario Saric is the process because he's the only guy from the original 76ers draft picks. They had, like, you know, Robert Covington, him, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Nerlens Noel, Michael Carter Williams. Out of all those dudes, he's the one. He is the one that's still he's the one draft pick that made it to the finals. Obviously, he just tore his ACL in the finals. So, you know, it's a tough break for Dario Saric. But Dario, the process Saric, is still holding out hope right now. Also, just announced Juan Soto is going to be in the Home Run Derby. That should be kind of fun. Get to see Juan Soto, Joey Gallo in the Home Run Derby. Shohei is going to be in the Home Run Derby. This should be interesting. Interesting. Stanley Cup Finals. Should we wait on Stanley Cup talk, or should we dive on into the Stanley Cup talk here? And we were looking at odds. What were we talking about before looking at the odds board? I forgot now what we were looking at before getting obsessed with the odds board here on. Oh, yes, right. England and Denmark soccer. We should pull that up as well. We can get some live coverage towards the back end because I know we'll get the end of that here. So let's talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup Final because Game 5 is tonight, and I want to kind of explain this story for some people who maybe don't know the hockey backstory to this, but something that's been a hot topic throughout the hockey playoffs is Tampa Bay Lightning basically being $17 million over the salary cap, and that being a significant competitive advantage over their competition. And so the story behind it was that Nikita Kucherov missed the entire season for Tampa Bay Lightning. He had surgery in December, and there was some conflict around that because the season ended in late September for the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup bubble. They won the championship last year. So there were some conflicting controversy around why it was that Tampa Bay's Nikita Kucherov had surgery that late and ultimately missed all of the regular season. And because he missed all of the regular season, his money did not count towards, England might get a penalty shot here. This could be a fate-changing call right now with virtual replay. So, anyways, Tampa Bay has been at a point of contention with a lot of people because they got no VAR. So, anyways, Tampa Bay got an exemption because Kucherov did not play a single game in the regular season and then came back for the first playoff game ready to go for Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay was the third seed in the Central Division presented by Discover Card, and they end up winning their first series against Florida, beating the one seed Carolina Hurricanes, and just generally looking like the Tampa Bay Lightning because Nikita Kucherov won the MVP in 2019 and might be the best player in hockey right now. And so they got his contract almost exempted from the salary cap and allowed them to slightly dip over the salary cap. And it was, again, this is not like nefarious. This is something in the collective bargaining of the NHL that got a lot of people upset that Kucherov, who had missed the whole season, was able to just come back and circumvent the salary cap for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are going to win the Stanley Cup final probably tonight. Like, they were up 3-0 in the series. Monday, Montreal had an epic comeback to stay alive. So we expect that Tampa is going to win the Stanley Cup final for the second year in a row. And they're the team of this era for hockey. Like, they were the team of the transition phase from the Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals dominating the sport for about 3 years to now them and Boston and a weird title from St. Louis in between. St. Louis hasn't really been great ever since then, and they just barely made the playoffs this year. And so something that's been interesting for Tampa is how does the Tampa Bay Lightning, who, again, this is not nefarious, even Gary Bettman, the lauded commissioner of the NHL, says that, you know, he kind of rolls his eyes at the complaints and people wanting to say, like, you know, this is unfair, but ultimately it'll probably be collectively bargained out because Tampa Bay took the rule to the furthest extreme. And because there's some dissent around this now, I assume it'll be collectively bargained out whenever the NHL has their collective bargaining fight. And so Tampa Bay, who's going to win a championship and maybe wins a championship without Nikita Kucherov. Like, obviously he's an MVP, but hockey's random enough and Tampa Bay is dominant enough. And hockey's a different sport because even the best players in hockey will maybe play 50% of the time. So hockey's a different sport in that way, where only 50% of the time do the best hockey players even step on the ice. So one player, and again, there's five at a time, one player of five, six if you count the goalie, one player of six who's on the ice like 50% of the time doesn't quite make or break a team's season. And so maybe they still succeed without Kucherov. They did it last year without their second best, well, their goalie, Vasilevskiy's their second best player, but they did it last year without Steven Stamkos. And this year they were doing pretty well without Nikita Kucherov because they recognized that even with him having surgery, they could make the playoffs without him fairly easily and throw away having a top two seed in the Central Division presented by Discover Card just to have – they could throw away get the three seed instead of the two seed just to have the extra rest for their guys going into the playoffs, knowing they're just ridiculously dominant as they were. And hockey's a random sport in that way. It's why Montreal's in the Stanley Cup right now. Montreal has no business being here from the beginning of the playoffs. They would have been either the last or second to last team, people would have said, make the Stanley Cup final And Montreal's here, and obviously it's been a fun story with Carey Price's revival and adding to his legendary Hall of Fame career. It's just been so weird, and hockey's weird that way, where you have crazy upsets and Vegas losing to Montreal, and, you know, there's not really much of an excuse Vegas has on that one, but it is quite unfortunate the way that that one played out for Vegas, but it hockey's weird like that, so there's no way to, like, be like, yes, we know we can win the championship without Nikita Kucherov, because hockey's totally random. Even right now, it's random. I'm not going to say it's out of the question that Montreal has a 3-0 comeback. It's like a 1 in 8 chance that they have a 3-0 comeback right now. Flip a coin 3 times and see if you can get all heads. If you get all heads, that means Montreal is going to win the Stanley Cup final. That's just given the fact that they're like plus 210 right now, I think, going into tonight, plus 215. Against Tampa Bay tonight in Tampa, but all the bets are coming in on Tampa, so could go both ways. But Tampa Bay will, under most circumstances, lift the Stanley Cup final trophy for, even though we've been doing this podcast for less, I'm sorry, this radio show for less than a year, for the second time in the history of this radio show. Oh, England almost had a goal deflected just wide. Oh. If the game's in England, too, so this is only going to be, like, double jeopardy heartbreaking if they lose this to Denmark. Oof. Tough break for Phillips. Don't know who Phillips is, but tough break. So, yeah, that's going on, too, at the same time. But this is going to be the second time in less than a year that Tampa Bay is going to hoist that Stanley Cup trophy, probably tonight. They're favored 3-1 almost. I mean, 2.65-1. But they're basically favored 3-1 tonight, so... We'll see what Tampa Bay's got in store for the mighty Montreal Canadiens, who, you know, they were getting run out of the building in the first 3 games, very clearly overmatched by what might be the greatest dynasty of the last, like, 10 to 20 years in hockey. Just absolutely dominant, the Tampa Bay Lightning are. You know, our buddy Cam will make the argument that they should have won 5 Stanley Cup finals in the last 10 years, but... Back-to-back, not so bad, Tampa Bay. Back-to-back Stanley Cups and being the team of this era in hockey. Who knows how long their window is going to remain open. Usually these hockey things last in 3-year cycles, but congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hopefully in advance. Maybe Montreal's got something up their sleeves tonight. Maybe they'll land those 3 heads on the magical coin tosses to help them try and win this series. We'll see if they're plus 200 times that again. I think it's more than 1-8 now that I think about it. Not a 50-50 shot they win tonight. It's more of a 1-4 shot. So let's say it's a 1-in-64 chance. So flip a coin 6 times, and if they all come up Montreal, then the Canadians are going to win the Stanley Cup final. So flip a coin 6 times. If they all come up Montreal, if they all come up heads, then the Canadians are going to win the Stanley Cup final after being down 3-0, which would be the first time it's happened in the Stanley Cup final, I think they said, like 70 years or something. But I know it's only happened in the NHL playoffs like 4 or 5 times that a team has come back from down 3-0. It's only happened once in baseball, and it's happened never in the NBA. So hockey has potential for some upsets, but this would be the upset of all upsets here. Oh, a header out. No good, England. All right, we're in the 82nd minute here between England and Denmark at the Euro semifinals. If they can score one in regulation, we'll get the end here. If not, check in the rest. It means a lot for pretentious England. England hasn't – when was the last time England won a major tournament? Let's Google that right now. When did England win a World Cup? It was 1966. That's their only major tournament that they've won on a world stage. They won the World Cup in 1966, and they could maybe win the Euros here, because next up, I think, is Italy. I think Italy's in the championship, and Denmark feels kind of weird. Like, I don't think of Denmark as, like, a European superpower. When France and Germany are already out of the tournament, I don't think of Denmark as, like, a European superpower. Same thing with Croatia. I know Luka Modric. Just because the last World Cup, he was awesome. So let's see what Denmark's got here. Looks like England's outplaying Denmark, because I've pretty much only seen England on the attack until right now. Denmark's, like, slowly but steadily trying to work it inside. So let's see. Kick out. Okay, they're just kind of like repositioning. They just kind of, the defenders are passing it around to kill some time. I think they're happy to go into extra time at this point. England's in a weird place. Because England, I assume, is favored just by watching this and knowing how good the teams are from just previous World Cups and things like that. Like, I don't think of Denmark being that great. All right, here comes Denmark. Cuts back. Flips it up with his left, and it's out of bounds. Didn't really have much of a chance there. All right, 84. So 6 minutes plus extra time. That's what they're looking at right now. 6 minutes and extra time for England and Denmark. See what you got in Denmark. All right, let's see what they got in store here. England's going to boot it out here. Again, not going to pretend like I'm a huge soccer person, not going to pretend like I know world soccer politics or the greatness, but I do like watching the World Cup, and, you know, Euro semifinals come up here. Not going to, I mean, I can name a few of the players, but I like the world tournaments at the very least. They've gotten me very interested in soccer across the years, watching a lot of these tournaments. So, you know what? Good on England and good on Denmark and good on myself for actually giving soccer some love right now. So, all right, 5 minutes left to go. Let's see what England's got in store. I don't know how to call soccer games either, so here we go. Looks like some miscommunication there by England. They're kind of talking at each other and booting the ball back into the goalkeeper. So a little bit of miscommunication right there. Oh, there we go. Just broke the Denmark press, per se, shall we say, because now England's working up with numbers. Here they go. They're out running here. Oh, tip down, and Denmark gets away with it. England was running with some sort of numbers, like 5-on-5. Wasn't quite numbers, but they had a little bit of an advantage right there. Denmark's got possession now. Just kind of holding it back there. 4 minutes to go before the extra time comes in. So 86th minute, getting towards the 87th minute between England and Denmark. Both teams are content to kind of ride this one out. No one's really shooting the ball on goal. Both teams are content to kind of just play this one out slowly and steadily and get this thing to extra time. Especially Denmark. Denmark would love to get this thing to penalty kicks. I assume any underdog would want to get it to penalty kicks. If they're having less chances at the goal, I assume underdogs would want to get it to penalty kicks. So, let's see. Cross. No, knocked away by England. Saved, though, by Denmark. Denmark works it in the dangerous zone between three English defenders. Number 7 for England tracks it down to the corner. And almost saved it just along. Denmark's got a shot, and it is out of bounds off of Denmark. So England was in some dangerous zones in the corner, but they're going to be okay on that one. Correction, is a corner. Uh-oh, corner kick here for Denmark. Denmark's bringing up 5 players. Oh, and they're going to make a sub to kind of slow things down here. 87th minute. Use it or lose it, I'm guessing, on the sub. As Matthias Jensen comes in for Thomas Delaney. So they've got 5 Denmark players there. And again, this might be one of their last chances here. Might be one of Denmark's last chances to get a little, like, deflector goal in or a header or something. All right, let's see. Tipped out by England, and foul called. They called a foul on Denmark before it got in there. So, all right, no chance there. And blew the whistle well before that. So, all right. Vestergaard picked up the foul for Denmark. 2 minutes left, but not actually 2 minutes left because it's a tie game. Just 2 minutes left here on the podcast. Or, I'm sorry, radio show. Damn it. We're getting better. We're getting better at it. And now they punt it back the other way. All right, England's working it slowly down in right now. Flips it. Number four. Don't know who number four is. I know Harry Kane's number nine. I know Sterling is 10, I want to say. Is it 10? It's either 10 or 18, it looks like. There's England. Oh, gets by a defender in the box. Tries to cross it through. Couple defenders. Dangerous territory. England still got it. Edge of the box. Works it towards the corner. Denmark almost had the steal there. Now slowing it down. Harry Kane. Stallings, I think his name was. And out of bounds. So it's going to stay with England. Let's find out how much extra time we have here that we won't get to see on the Take It Easy podcast. Or radio show. Ugh. Take It Easy radio show. All right, England. We have... Now it's taking him a second. 6 minutes. 6 minutes of extra time for England and Denmark. So let's see what England can do here in extra time. Walker works it into the box. Three Denmark defenders meet him. Kane. Oh, Harry Kane's going to get a shot. Oh, no, he didn't get the shot off. Denmark knocks it away. Oh, almost couldn't quite control it on his foot, but he got the ball in striking distance, couldn't quite get a shot off, just tapped it a little too hard. So close. And now this confirms my suspicions from earlier that England is the better team than Denmark, because England's the one who's definitely pushing on the attack late here. So my suspicions are confirmed. All right, 1 minute down, so we got 5 minutes to go. The good thing about soccer is that you know exactly when this is going to end, which is why I can tell you that unless England scores in the next 4.5 minutes, 4 minutes and 52 seconds to be almost exact, then we won't get to see the end here on the Take It Easy radio show. Now I'm starting to get it. Slowly but steadily, I'm starting to get it. England's trying to find a chance to attack. Now they're just the defenders are kind of passing it around in the back right now. So trying to draw out the Denmark defense. Denmark's playing way back right now. Tries to work it in. Denmark was ready for it. This is an envious position to be in if you're Denmark. 1-1, headed up to extra time. Walker dips it inside, kick back out, tries to cross it inside. Denmark kicks it away. Now the English defenders come back. Oh, a steal and a foul. Well, they're too far out to take a shot. Oh, here we go. They weren't ready. Oh, no, they weren't ready for it. Crossed it. Oh, a lot of Denmark bodies there. Oh, they got it inside. They got it near the goalie, but there was like eight Denmark defenders there because they're just playing six defenders back at this point for Denmark. Take all your midfielders and put them in the goal. Oh, this is trouble. Number 10. Oh, defender. Oh, he beat the defender. Oh, he didn't get a guy there. Oh, too many Denmark guys in the middle. I thought he was going to take the shot. And now England just kind of shoots a nobody shot. Shot it way over. Oh, he beat his defender. I thought he was going to take the shot after. Oh, he beat his man. Second Denmark guy came over. There was just nobody there. And just a nothing shot. Oh, English fans look heartbroken right there. Oh. Yeah, we're going to go to extra time. Dun, dun, dun. 2.5 minutes to go. Denmark's going to punt it down the field. All right, England. Extra time. Dun, dun, dun. Euro semifinals. Take It Easy radio show. Yes. All right, so I am going to hit a pause here on the YouTube. So for those of you tuning in on YouTube, thank you for stopping in here today. Check out all of our work there, as well as following on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. So thank you again, and we'll see you again tomorrow, YouTube people. And for those of you all still hanging out with us here on Open Talk, thanks again. We're happy to have you here. 2 minutes left to go here between England and Denmark. Harry Kane tried a little some, get the foul. So, one more try for England here. One more try. About 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Denmark defenders. Got to be 9 there just by my math. There's got to be a 9th one in there somewhere. Flips it. Oh, head caught by the goalie. Easy save. Easy save for Denmark. Oof. Oh, technically got it. Just couldn't get a good one. Defenders were all backing up. Their heads all went up. And nope, just right to the goalie. Oh, England gets a steal, but no, it's going to be out of bounds. All right, Denmark, good job by you. We're going to get extra time. Extra time. Love that. Extra time. All right, England, one more try. 20 seconds left, so this is literally their last try. Otherwise, the clock's going to run out after this attack. Oh, tries to split the defender. No foul called. Denmark's just going to punt it upfield, and I think they're going to probably call it as long as England's not on the attack here. Punts it out of bounds. And well, it's on the English side, so they're gonna let this play out a little bit longer, it looks like. One more miracle throw. Trying to get a long throw in here, but Denmark's got everyone back at this point. Kip, head, Walker. Going to get one more strike in here. Deflected long. England still got it, though. They're already over the extra time, but because England's on the strike, they don't stop it. Tipped in, headed out. Still got it. Inside the box, cross. Harry Kane has it. Nope. Kicked away. And there is your whistle. Extra time at the Euro semis. Oh, Harry Kane had it too. Oh, beautifully. He just couldn't get the shot. Number 7 was in disbelief. Oh, unfortunate. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping into the Take It Easy radio show here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. We will be back next week. Take it easy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Or tomorrow. Yes, one more show this week. Sorry. Take it easy.